To Gates Presbyterian Church, whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship with us, we are so glad you found your way to this worshiping community. In your bulletin, you'll see announcements and a calendar, all sorts of different opportunities to be church together. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the table today to receive any questions and comments that you have. This morning, we are celebrating the sacrament of communion, and we are doing that by intinction. And so if you'll remember, that's tearing the piece of bread, dipping it into the cup. We're going to try something a little bit more Presbyterian and organized today. I know, apparently my free-for-all is making the Presbyterians nervous. We are going to have the ushers. We'll dismiss you by pew. And so if you would wait until you see the usher who will dismiss you, you'll go to the table, receive the sacrament, and then return to your seat. If you are having some mobility concerns and would like to receive communion in your seat, you may do so. Communion servers will wander around at the end. Just make sure you do the wave so that they know that you would like to receive the sacrament. Two announcements to call your attention to in the bulletin. One of my most favorite things about Gates Presbyterian Church is we have Undie Sundays. And if you would, when you're out school shopping or even just any kind of shopping, make sure you pick up some packages of underwear and leave them clean in the package still. Put them in the basket out in the hallway. And we are still receiving collections for our summer food program, so please drop off your non-perishable items out in the swimming pool. Sherry has an announcement this morning.
Good morning. 2 weeks from today, on the 16th, we'll be having family service-a-palooza. That's going to follow worship, which we're hoping will be outside, correct? Mm-hmm. Yes. So we're going to be doing hygiene kits for Presbytery. We're going to be doing cards and bookmarks for Harbor House. We're going to try to help get the swim food packed up, all of those things. So the kids will join us right after worship because there's a congregational meeting also, correct?
Thank you.
Okay. So we'll meet in the fellowship hall right after worship. There's no cost to attend. We will, however, be grateful for any donations to cover the cost of the hygiene kits. Thanks very much.
Today we are right in between mission trips. Senior highs are leaving for their mission trip today at 2 p.m. You're allowed to just wait around here after church, but it will be a little while, so feel free to take a quick nap. And junior highs have pictures from their work project, which are going to be out near the punch during coffee hour. So feel free to go out there, take a look at all the great work they did around the city, and see what our youth are doing in the community.
We should clarify the nap thing. No naps during the sermon, okay? All right, no naps then. Thank you, Sherry. Reminder also, we're having outdoor worship on August 16th. We do plan to meet out here under the tree. Bring your lawn chairs, your blankets. We'll have some folding chairs. And then immediately following, we will have a brief congregational meeting for the sole purpose of discussing the pastor emeritus status for Bob Kaiser and Carol Ann Strawbridge. So that's what we will be doing. And if we have a little bit of time afterwards, we can also do another congregational talk back. You guys have gotten a lot of letters lately, and I'm sure you have questions. If you can't wait till the 16th, please know. You can always give me a call, drop me an email, or come talk with me. So let us now prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. This is the place, and this is the ground in which the body of Christ grows. You who are learning, come and grow as we teach each other. You who are undecided or wary, come and grow in this space that has room for all. You who are new and you who have built this place, come and grow as we hear the Spirit's call. Let us grow in the knowledge, experience, and love of God.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. God of mercy, you command us to love one another across all differences. You open up new horizons to us, but we often respond with fear and judgment. We act as if some people don't matter, as if they don't deserve care or support. You refuse to see where people are hurting because it makes us uncomfortable and challenges the way we live. Forgive us, God. Give us true repentance that leads to change in life for all creation. Amen. Let us now confess silently to our God. Christ extends love to each and every one of us. We do not need to hold on to the transgressions of our past, but have new life through Christ.
The Spirit of God binds us together in peace and lets us grow in faith and love. Amen.
I'd now like to invite the children to come forward and join me here at the front. Thank you. Good morning, guys. So I've got a question. What is this here? Yeah? It's a heart? Yeah. It's a little letter that somebody wrote that says, Jesus loves you. Do you know what it says? Do you know who made it? From Carson. Yep. Carson made this one in Sunday school. It's a little letter that he wrote so that whenever someone from the church is in the hospital or sick, we can bring them a letter that reminds them how much Jesus loves them. And I love having these letters from the Sunday school class because that means I can carry God's love with me into the hospital when we visit people who are sick or who are getting better from surgery. Today in the Bible story, we're going to read a whole letter from Paul. It's going to be a little bigger than Jesus loves you, but it's going to be all about the exact same thing, how God's love makes us come together and take care of each other, and how much God loves each and every one of us. When's the last time one of you guys sent a letter? Yeah? In the school year, do you send letters in school? Yeah, I was hoping so. I got to tell you, I don't send letters that often anymore, right? You just call someone on the phone if you want to talk to them. But a long time ago, back when the Bible was still getting written, they had to write all kinds of letters because they didn't have phones and they needed to talk to each other. So when we read the letters today, it helps us remember how much God loved people all the way back then and how much God loves us now. All right, let's go ahead and pray together. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Help us to love each other. Amen. All right.
Our scripture from the Old Testament this morning is from Psalms 147. How good to sing praises to our God. How delightful and how fitting. The Lord is rebuilding Jerusalem and bringing the exiles back to Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. He counts the stars and calls them all by name. How great is our Lord. His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. The Lord supports the humble, but he brings the wicked down into the dust. Thank you.
Amen.
Today's second scripture reading is the entire book of Philemon, but don't worry, it's one chapter. It's not every day you read an entire book in one sitting, so it's okay to feel a little bit accomplished after this. This is one of the last of Paul's letters to his fellow Christians, so it was meant to be read aloud in the house church that it was sent to, a little bit like we're doing today. Paul is writing to Philemon, the house church's host, to talk about Philemon's slave, Onesimus. Listen now for God's word to our hearts. From Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that is accordance with godliness, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, Apphia, our sister, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God, because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he's indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place doing my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. One thing more. Prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping through your prayers to be restored to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word for God's people here today. Thanks be to God. One of the things that I like about this letter is that it's small enough to look at the whole thing at once, just like people would have read it when it was first written. The people who compiled the Bible centuries ago don't seem to have cut anything out either. We have the letter's address, Paul's flowery openings and closings, and even his request that Philemon should prepare a guest room for him, because he'd be stopping by later and needs a couch to crash on. I love how perfectly human that is. Of course Paul needs a place to stay when he visits. And of course, Philemon would be honored to let Paul stay with him in a nice guest room. After all, Paul is a respected leader in the church. It's the least Philemon could do for a fellow brother in Christ. Paul assumes that Philemon will have no problem with letting Paul stay with him. So he just goes ahead and demands that Philemon make space for him. but when it comes to Onesimus, Paul gets a lot gentler with his language. Or at least, he sounds gentler. Paul spends time telling Philemon how much he loves him, how much he cares about Philemon and his church family, and then he starts mentioning, bit by bit, how much he also loves Onesimus, this newly converted Christian who just happens to be Philemon's slave. We don't know how Onesimus became a slave, probably because he was in debt or a prisoner of war. Either way, Onesimus was away from Philemon for a bit on business. During that time, he met Paul, and then through Paul, he met Christ. And now things get a little tricky. Because, of course, if Christians really love each other like siblings and welcome each other into their homes, how could Philemon possibly keep treating Onesimus like his slave? Paul is very gentle when he suggests to Philemon that maybe, possibly, enslaving Onesimus isn't a Christian thing to do. He's so very subtle that Christians throughout the ages have been confused about whether Paul approves of slavery or not. The book of Philemon used to be used to justify returning escaped slaves to their owners in America, since that's technically what Paul is doing here. Except those people who twisted scripture to justify their sins missed out on how this letter is kind of a masterclass in passive-aggressive persuasion. You know the type, when somebody should do something, but you don't want to call them out and embarrass them in front of their friends and yours. So you just casually mention, wouldn't it be great if this thing happened? That would make a lot of sense. And then you wait. I spent 3 years in Kentucky for seminary, and if you really want to hear passive-aggressive, try talking to Southerners for a while. It is beautiful. You just carefully wait and read between the lines, and you can learn a whole lot by what people aren't saying. There are a few ways we can look at this letter. One is to assume that because Paul didn't directly command Philemon to treat Onesimus with respect, it's okay to treat people, you know, well enough without actually treating them well. You know, to help others out when it's convenient to you or when it makes sense to you, but not too much more. But another way to look at this letter is that Paul believes you get more flies with honey than vinegar, and he wants to help Philemon change his behavior without embarrassing him in the church. Paul doesn't tell Philemon what to do, so that when Philemon starts treating Onesimus with respect, he can feel good about making the right choice. And Paul's way of being persuasive sounds like he might have had older siblings, because this sounds like a real little brother way of talking. I'm a big sister, and I had a car a full 5 years before my brother did, so this sounds pretty familiar to me. First, you butter them up with some compliments. Oh, hey, did you change your hair? That joke was really funny. You're the best. Then, when they're ready, you bring up a favor you want. Oh, you're such a great sister. I bet you'll give me a ride to work tomorrow. It'd be easy. It's right on your way. Paul has a huge request for Philemon, that he free his slave, forgive Onesimus' debts, and treat him like a brother. This is not an easy sell in ancient Rome. But instead of simply commanding that Philemon's slave-owning behavior is completely wrong for a Christian, or for any human being, Paul goes a different route. He tells Philemon how much he loves him, how much Paul hopes Philemon is doing well, and that his faith is being nurtured. And then Paul just casually slips in there how wonderful Onesimus is, and what a faithful person he's become. And wouldn't it be a shame if this fantastic new Christian was treated like Philemon's slave, instead of like Philemon's brother? What a beautiful guilt trip. I love how Paul doesn't simply order Philemon, but offers a choice, just like we're offered every day. Paul looks at a relationship which is wrong between Philemon and Onesimus. Philemon has too much power, too much command, instead of trusting Onesimus to make his own choices as a human being worthy of respect. So to combat this abuse of power, Paul doesn't command Philemon or try to control him. He just lays out the facts, bit by bit. Both of them, Philemon and Onesimus, are equals. They're both loved by Paul, both important Christians to this newly born church, and they both dedicated their lives to following Christ. Most importantly, they're both loved by Christ. They're children of God, and therefore brothers. So Paul shouldn't really have to explain to Philemon what to do next, because it's pretty obvious. This letter is so short in part because Philemon already knows how to treat a fellow Christian, like family. And we usually know how to treat family, like they're part of ourselves. We define ourselves in part by the relationships we have. I am a daughter, a sister, a wife. Our family molds us into the people we are, in good ways and bad ones. And when their lives are better, our lives improve too. When a person hurts someone in their family, they both suffer. The relationships we build and nurture define us in these beautiful, life-giving ways. One of the great things about the church is it gives us the chance to reach out and recognize the family bonds with people all over the world, the poor and the rich, our neighbors and strangers, all building up each other. There's no room for abuse or controlling behavior in this family. Philemon has to recognize that he can't keep treating Onesimus as less than himself, because they're both children of God. Onesimus was Philemon's slave, but he has always been God's creation. He has always been so important that Jesus Christ lived and died and was born again so that people like him could have new life. So if God is willing to be born on earth and suffer for Onesimus, the very least Philemon can do is forgive his debts and set him free. And really, freeing him isn't enough. It isn't enough to not actively hurt somebody and pretend like that's being Christian to them. You don't get a reward for not doing bad things. That's just basic humanity, even if it takes some effort. Philemon freeing Onesimus from slavery is really the bare minimum here. After all, he shouldn't be trying to own someone in the first place. Philemon has a lot more to do. If he really accepts Onesimus as a brother in Christ, he has a long way to go. He needs to recognize that Onesimus has gifts and talents to bring to the church, and he should give him the authority and the resources to serve God. That's what Paul is asking for. That's what would actually make these two men part of the same family. That's what we work for in our church today, seeing people not as their paycheck or their pedigree, but as beloved family in Christ with lots to give. When we welcome somebody into the church, we're recognizing them as a fellow child of God. We're admitting that this person was created by the same God who numbered the stars and made us. When we welcome somebody in the church, we admit that we're family. Not just metaphorical family, but people whose very existence changes who we are together. We do a lot for the families we live with. Pick them up from the airport, make them dinner, get sunburned watching them at soccer games. And so it's nice to call other Christians family because that can be such a warm, fuzzy picture. But it's not enough to just say the church is a family. We have to act like it. Part of being the church is that we recognize how every person is God's child, and every person's well-being is tied up with our own. The earlier church recognized that when they went beyond the systems of the world and opened up to each other in love. Paul recognized that when he met Onesimus, told him about Christ, and then worked hard to make sure that Philemon and everybody else around him understood that Onesimus was part of the family. Now there's a lot more Christians now, and it can be hard to remember that every person is a part of our family in the church. We don't always get personalized letters of reference when people wander in, but we're still part of the same family. We forget sometimes that we're responsible for each other, and that other people's pain and need hurts us. But time and time again, the Spirit reminds us with love that we are all children in God's family. We are all called to take care of each other, to help each person have the freedom they need become the amazing people God created them. Today, the senior highs will head out on their work project to Chemo. We will meet new family and help them have the homes they need to thrive. I'm so excited to spend this time working together with other children of God and serving them with love. And even before then, we get together in worship, right here around the communion table, where God has invited us to come forward and share a family meal. No matter where we're from or where we're going, we're given the chance to eat together as one family. Let us celebrate the love that God lifts us up and offers us the grace to see the value in every person here. Amen. Please stand and join me in the affirmation of faith, taken from the Westminster Confession. After God had made all other creatures, he created man, male and female, with reasonable and immortal souls, endued with knowledge, righteousness, and true holiness after his own image, having the law of God written in their hearts and power to fulfill it, and yet under a possibility of transgressing, being left the liberty of their own will, which was subject unto change. In the gospel, God declares his love for the world and his desire that all men should.
The one to whom we turn our life over to has invited us to this table. So whoever you are and however you feel, for whatever reasons you are here today, come. Come to this feast. Whatever your condition, whatever your brokenness and hurts you bear, know that it is our host, that he is the one who teaches, the one who heals, and the one who welcomes. And our Savior invites those who trust in him to share in this feast that he has prepared. According to the Gospel of Luke, when our Lord was at table, our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. God be with you.
God is so with you.
Unlock the doors of your hearts.
We open them to God and one another.
Let us give thanks to God who created us all.
It's right to give God thanks and praise.
God of the powerless, the oppressed, and the unusual. We praise you for your special love for those who don't fit in. Your spirit calmed the storm tossed deep and your word shaped chaos into a world which you called good. You formed your people from refugees and slaves, turning nobodies into somebodies by giving them your covenant. Your teaching was to welcome exiles, strangers, to care for the weak and the poor, to visit the sick and the elderly, and share your love. But we forgot your teachings and rejected the different among us. Time and again, your warning prophets were pushed away, but our resistance could never defeat your dream for the world. Bind us together with all your children to transform your church, our city, and world into a wholesome community. Together, as one family, we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and every place, saying, Holy,
holy, holy, God of love and joy, heaven and earth are full of your blessings. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who guides us into healing and wholeness. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, God, and blessed is Jesus Christ, our light, our life. You came among us as an outcast, a wanderer, illegitimate. You touched lepers and bleeding women, ate with sinners, healed the tormented, taught the hopeless, picked unstable and unlikely disciples, and welcomed everyone to your feast table. Yearning to please you, we remember your birth, teachings, and death. Together, we celebrate your resurrection, our bold new life. As we come to the table of new possibilities, we speak of that mystery we call faith.
Christ died, witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will come, blessing us forever.
Holy God, send out your Spirit upon this bread and cup, simple gifts which grace us with your life, and send your Spirit upon those gathered around this table. By your Spirit, may this feast become the bread of life and the cup of salvation, your body and blood, that we may love others as your body in the world. Send us out to help others recognize themselves as your children and feel the strength of your grace. Glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life, on this first day of the week and in all the days to come. Amen.
Friends, we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, gathered his friends around a similar table. And on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength, he took the common bread and made it holy, just as he takes each
and every one of us, common people, and makes us whole. Remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again, and he did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
This is my bread alone. So in the same way, after supper, he gave thanks and took the cup and poured it out, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, my blood of salvation poured out for all of you. Drink this in remembrance of me. Remember that whenever we come together to eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim God's saving life until Christ comes again."
The table has been set, and please remember, all are welcome. This is not a Presbyterian table. This is not Gates' table. This is Christ. All are welcome. And for those who have gluten intolerance, please know we do have an option here located on the table. And at this time, if the ushers would begin dismissing by pew, let's come forward.
last month. We're doing the double check. Make sure no one's waving. We got everybody.
All right. Will you pray with me? Abundant God, you make this feast the nourishment we need to live as your children, to share your grace with our neighbors. Continue to inspire us to reach out with acceptance so that we follow your example of overwhelming grace. With bread in this cup. Amen.
Nourished by this meal, we also are fed by the love of this community and by God. And we share together in our time of prayers of joy and prayers of concern. If you would like to share a prayer out loud, please raise your hand, and an usher will bring a microphone. And if you would tell us who you are, and also just keep your prayer short. So, thank you.
I just want to say thank you so much for all the prayers for my dad for his surgery. He did great, went very, very well, and thank you to my son for helping get him in the house because I wasn't prepared for that. He ended up back, though, in the hospital Friday in a lot of pain, but thanks to the doctors and nurses, catheters are great, so he's doing well, so thank you.
Continued prayers for your dad.
Allison Tuttle. Prayers of concern for my boyfriend's father. He was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and he's been hospitalized 4 times. He's been going through chemotherapy. He's losing all of his hair, which is what he's most concerned about. Mm-hmm. And he's been stuck at home for weeks, and just continued prayers for him, please.
Continued prayers for your boyfriend's dad and all of his family and friends.
Donna Shah. I would just like prayers for all of the Gooley family, the loss of their son, grandson, nephew. Thank you.
The family.
Bonnie Beckett, and I would like everyone to welcome our daughter, Linda Maupin, who came from Tennessee to be with us for a few days.
Glad that you're here with us. Welcome home.
Abby Empson, I have a prayer of joy that my show went, like, really well. So.
Good. Prayers of joy and thanksgiving all went well, Abby.
Sue Mancini, I just like to say thank you for the talents of our two musicians this morning. These two young people are very, very talented, and I'm glad they shared their talents with us this morning.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Hi.
Hi, Jan Phillips. As for continued prayers for my dad and mom, Don and Louise Bernhardt, my dad is going home tomorrow after 3 months. And the transition is going to be very challenging, so we ask for continued prayers. Thanks.
Prayers for your dad and mom, and everyone caring for them.
Ron Steinmiller, I'd like to ask prayers for my brother-in-law, Tom Thomas. Earlier this week, he had triple bypass surgery, and he also has issues with his kidneys now, and they've on dialysis, so prayers for his sake.
Prayers for your brother.
Sherry McFarland, the most exciting thing I heard in the last 2 weeks was the night that Tracy Berkovich said that her daughters and some friends were going to tackle the craft closet. They did a wonderful job getting that cleaned out, and the Sunday school set, and thank you all so much. That's Samantha and Jessica Berkovich and Ariana DeMarco. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Thank you for all your help.
Barb Chapman, I have a prayer of joy, of everlasting memories, and I think of our youth here at GPC. Last Sunday, I attended a mini reunion of the MYF, Methodist Youth Fellowship. We celebrated 50 years as a group. 12 of us returned. It was ever so heartwarming. Just realize the power of a church.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks be to God.
Hi, Keith Morgan. We would like to ask for prayers, both Paulette and I, for our good friend Chris Nielsen, who passed away in July. We have known her for 35 years since we were freshmen in college. She introduced us. She was a theater director, an oncology nurse, and a Unitarian minister, all those things. And she's a great life coach to us. She will be sorely missed by both of us.
Prayers for the Nielsen. Let us continue our time of prayer together. Gracious One, we are so grateful that
you have made us your people, that by your grace you called us together to this table. But, oh God, if we are being honest, then probably most of us, if not all of us, also sometimes wonder if we do have a place. Not just here, but some of us, as we grow older, start to wonder about our place in your world. Those of us who are younger wonder about our place amongst our friends. Perhaps there are those of us who wonder, because of who we are, if we have a place even in our own family. Some of us might even wonder sometimes if we have a place in you. When these doubts and questions arise, reach out to us in mercy. Surprise us by your presence, O God, and give us the firm, calm assurance that in you we are home. You are our place. And your promise of being our home is why we also lift up to you, O God, those who might feel more of a divine absence today than presence. We pray for those who now occupy a hospital bed, for those who sit beside it. We pray for those who are preparing for funerals and memorial services, for the McMahon family. God, words fail us, so we ask that you do not. We pray for those who are lonely, even when they're surrounded by people, for those who sit in the loud quiet that follows a death, for those digging out from storms or bombs all over your world. Oh God, break through somehow. Let all of them, all of us, know that you are here and that you are at work healing, even though we may not see it just yet. Lord, we know that all you have to do and say is a word and all shall be well, so we pray fervently for you to do so, as you did in the beginning and promised to do at the end. Make us, make your church, make all your creation well. We pray all of this in the name of our Savior and our brother who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now today, in just a few short hours, our senior high work project team is going to be heading up north to Chemung, New York to serve there. So right now I'd like to invite everybody on that team who's going to be coming with us this week to come forward. And before I get swamped, I'm going to go up there. These are the names of the youth and advisors coming to Chemung for our senior high work project. Now, just a warning, we have some new faces here and people I haven't gotten to know yet, so if I butcher your name, I'm sorry, but it will be better by the end of the week. There's nothing wrong with the marimba. You can come around. Come on, come on. Let them see your faces. Come on. The people coming this week are Sam Berkovich, Maya Tarchola, Zach DeRoque, Ariana DeMarco, Sam Dykes, Alina Indolovsky, Nadia Indolovsky, Jennifer Hasenlop, Mike Hasenlop, Abby and Lauren Jarvis, Kyle Klein, Max Leisenring, Scott and Chris Lewis, Audrey and Beth Molina, Quinn Mulhern, Katie Oman, Jocelyn Pym, Dan Smythe, Allison Tuttle, Keisha Binko, Tracy Berkovich, Bill DeCero, Mike Indolovsky, Babe Fish, Vicky Gutiel, Keith and Mary Hadley, Nancy Hasenlop. Did I miss anybody? All right, I think we're good. Together, we are going to work to serve the people in Chemung, New York, working with a group called Ministries in the North Country. Everyone up here, by volunteering to be part of a GPC work project, you've responded to God's call to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. On this trip, you'll serve God in and around upstate New York. You'll help prepare homes for those with limited resources, learn more about each other and God's river path for us all. Will you pledge your faithfulness and service, your desire to learn from those you serve, and your openness to God's Spirit in this week? If so, please say, I will. Advisors, as you head out today, you commit yourselves as partners in mission with these youth. Will you seek to serve with patience, humor, faith, and understanding? If so, please say, I will. Youth, you will be sharing God's love with new people as partners in Christ. Will you serve with enthusiasm, dedication, joy, and cooperation? If so, please say, I will. Everyone has to cooperate. What is this? Let's try it one more time. Will you, and you're not getting on the bus unless you do, pledge to serve with enthusiasm, dedication, joy, and cooperation? If so, please say, I will. There we go. I believe it now. Will you, the few people left in the pews at Gates Presbyterian Church, promise to support this work project team with prayer during their trip and celebrate their experiences together when they return? If so, please say, we will.
We will.
All right. Let us pray together. God of all people, be with these mission workers as they seek to serve you. Give them safe travels and empower them in their work. Encourage them in their faith so that they can build relationships with each other and with you. Grant them courage to reach out and help them to see your face in every person they meet. Amen. All right, you can go back to your seats. And now we know that everything we have to give, our time, our efforts, and our money, all comes as a gift from God. So let us give back together through our morning offering.
Dear Lord, we bring you back this morning a very small portion of all the wonderful gifts you've given to us. We ask you to use them for your blessings to further your work in this world. And now be with us as we depart and be with our youth group as they head out to do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now as you go out into the world, go in peace. Love God and serve your neighbor, and know that no matter how far you travel, no matter who you meet, God's blessing and love goes with you, both now and forevermore. Amen.